about me. Some of you all know who I am. If you want to know anything more about me, ask one of those folks who know me. But anyway, this morning I want to share a message with you that I have shared in a couple other churches. And it's something that I know you all need. And I know. As Christians, I know we need it. So this morning I want to share about being bold, or I want to share with you about a Christian boldness. And the definition of boldness is this: it's a willingness to take risk and act with confidence or with courage. And guys, I can tell you that first part of that definition of boldness is the way we should be as Christians. We should be willing to take a risk for Jesus Christ. We should be willing to take a risk, and we should be, as Christians, we should be confident in what we know to be the truth. And we should be courageous enough to share. The second part of that definition of boldness is this: it is the quality of having a strong or a vivid or a clear appearance. And I can tell you, I know without a doubt, I know for a fact, as Christians, we should look different in our world. We should have a quality. We should have a strength about us. When people see us out there in this world, outside the church walls, they should say, "Oh, Christian." They should be able to notice something different in us. The definition there says a vivid or a clear appearance. We should look different. We should appear different in this world. And guys, I think we could say we should have a boldness about us as Christians. As Christians, we should have a boldness, but listen to me, it needs to be a gentle boldness. I know those two words kind of contradict one another: to be gentle, to be nice and kind, but then to be bold, we have this image of being someone who's standing up on a street corner, you know, and shouting. But God, we should be bold, but we have got to be gentle in the way we go about it. Christians are to be gentle and bold at the same time. And the best example we've ever had of a gentle boldness is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was gentle in every way, everywhere He went. During His 3 years of ministry, He was gentle. And He had compassion for everyone He came into contact with. But He was bold. He was bold all the way up to the cross for you and for me. I want you to hear, and don't turn there. If you have your Bibles and you like to follow along, you want to go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. That's where the majority of the message is going to come from today. It'll take me just a minute to get there. But Jesus, He had this gentle boldness about Himself. And listen to what He says about Himself in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you take up my yoke and learn from me," Jesus says, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in me." Jesus says, "Come to me, all of those who are weary and burdened, and learn from me. I am gentle." Well, that's, you know, guys, we are to be like Christ. As Christ followers, we're supposed to be like Him. He tells us right there in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, that He is gentle, and so should we be. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul writes this: "Now I, Paul, make a personal appeal to you by the gentleness and the graciousness of Christ. Paul recognizes the gentleness of Christ, and he reminds us as Christians that we should be gentle like Christ. Christians are to be gentle, kind, loving. But guys, we are also to be bold. Bold enough to tell others about Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And in fact, in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus commands us. We know it is the Great Commission. Jesus says, and in verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, Jesus says. Go, in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Jesus commands us to go. He commands us to make disciples, and he commands us to teach others everything we know about him and the kingdom of God. And here's the deal, guys. To go into Nicaragua, into Uganda, to go across the street of your house, to go as Jesus commands us to do, listen, it takes a bold. We've got to be bold. Well, I tell you what, our Christian boldness, it should never look or sound judgmental. Well, as Christians, we should never look or sound judgmental. We should never look or sound critical of others. Our Christian boldness should never look or sound fault-finding. Our Christian boldness should never look or sound condemning. You know, we want to take the Word of God, and we want to take our knowledge of the Word of God and the things that we've been taught about it, and we want to point the finger at those folks that are outside these walls. We want to point the finger at the lost of the world, and we want to condemn them. We're not to do that. Christian boldness should never look or sound judgmental, critical, fault-finding, condemning, disapproving. It should never sound negative. A Christian boldness should never sound negative. We shouldn't take the Word of God, what we know, and look at someone who we know is sinning and condemn them and talk down to them and be negative towards them for a sin that they're committing. But rather, a Christian boldness should be encouraging. Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, the first thing we want to do is point out every person's problem. And instead, we should be pointing out Jesus. You know, says, and you know what? I can help you, but you're going to have to change your life from doing what you're doing. No, we should just go to them out of love and say, I want to tell you about this man I know named Jesus, who loves me and who loves you, no matter what it is you're doing. Our Christian boldness, brothers and sisters, should never sound judgmental, critical, disapproving, negative. And this word, a Christian boldness, as Christians, we should never be hypocritical. You know, my father-in-law, he's no longer with us, but my mother-in-law, she tried every way in the world to get him to go to church. And I remember he made a statement one time that he knew the people that went to church. You know, he knew how they were on Monday through Saturday. And he's not going to go be a part of that. Guys, a Christian boldness should never look or sound hypocritical, but no, it should be a boldness that comes from the love we have for God and Jesus Christ. A Christian boldness should come from the knowledge of the truth. That is the Word of God. And a Christian boldness should come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that empowers us. If you're a Christian here today, I want you to understand it. If you don't, hopefully you will understand it by the time I'm done. If you're a Christian today, you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Baptist churches, we don't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And we definitely don't ever, hardly ever call it the Holy Ghost. That messes with people. But you need to know something today. If you're a Christian, if you have had a point in your life where you profess Christ as Lord. For me, I was 10 years old. At that point in my life, I was given the Father's promise. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Let me just read it to you real quick. While he, Jesus, was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That will apply to our message here in just a minute. But guys, it was the Father's promise. And if you're a Christian today, you have been given the Father's promise. That is the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you a question. Do these words describe you today as a Christian? Love? Are you a loving person? Joy? Are you just full of joy everywhere you go? Peace? Are you a peacemaker? How about patience? Do you have a lot of those? Kindness? Are you a kind person? Goodness? Are you good everywhere you go? Faith, full of it. Gentleness. Are you gentle in the way you live your life? And self-control. Because see, if you're here today and you tell me that you're a Christian, those words should describe you. Those words should describe the church. That is, those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. We make up the Bible. That is the church. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those are known as the fruits of the Spirit. We find that in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25. Let me read it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus, we have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. A Christian boldness should come from the Holy Spirit, guys, that empowers us. We are truly empowered by the Holy Spirit. Do you believe it today? You know how I know we're empowered by the Holy Spirit? I want you to go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. I love the book of Acts. We have time this morning, we're going to be in Acts 2, 3, 4. But we have a beautiful picture here in Acts chapter 2 of boldness and where it comes from. Let me read it. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place, they, the disciples, And it says, suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Then they, the disciples, were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them the ability for speech. In verse 5 it says, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, a crowd came together, and they were confused, because each one in the crowd had heard them speaking in his own language. It says there in verse 7 that the crowd were astounded and amazed, saying, look, aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear in our own native language? Skip down to verse 11. It says, we hear them speaking the magnificent acts of God in our own languages. Verse 12 says that they were all astounded, perplexed, confused, saying to one another, what could this be? And in verse 13, of course, some sneered and said, oh, they're just full of new wine, they're drunk. But here's the part you need to hear today. Verse 14. This is the part that I love, that stands out. I've been here before for other messages. It says, But Peter stood up. He stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, men of Judah, and all of you, residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you, he says, and pay attention to my words. Now, you just need to understand something here this morning. Peter and the other disciples, they have a newfound boldness. You know, back in Mark chapter 14, verse 50, it says this, then they all deserted him and ran away. Do you remember when they seized Jesus? What happened? When they seized Jesus, when they arrested Jesus, and he was on his way to the cross, all of the disciples, every one of them scattered. They ran. They were running, scared, like a bunch of chickens, like a dog with his tail between his legs. They were running for their own life. They were afraid. And so you have that image in your mind, and this is about 50 days prior to this moment. And now all of a sudden, Peter, with the 11, the other disciples, he's got enough boldness to stand up in front of the very people that were saying, crucify, crucify, just days before. Where did the newfound boldness come from? Their newfound boldness came from the Holy Spirit. God is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The same Spirit that empowered Peter and the other disciples to be able to stand before the very ones who crucified Jesus. That same power has been given to you if you truly are a believer in Jesus Christ. Just listen to the boldness that he had. Peter says, men of Judah. Now don't forget, he was just a few days before this, very afraid, scared for his life. He stands up and he says, men of Judah, the very ones who were wanting to crucify Jesus. He stands up and with the 11, beautiful picture of unity there. He stands up with them and he says, men of Judah and all of you residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. And I love this because Peter is like, I can see him pointing his finger. He's saying, and pay attention to my words. Peter goes from being the one who denied knowing Jesus 3 times. You know, when the leaders and those that were fixing to crucify Christ, he says, hey, Aren't you one of his followers? Peter says, I do not know. Second time asked, I'm pretty sure I've seen you with him. I'm telling you, I do not know. We know that story. He denied knowing Jesus three times. Jesus restored him before he ascended to the Father. And now, all of a sudden, Peter has a boldness about himself that cannot be contained. And guys, I'm telling you, this same beautiful image of a boldness that he has right now in his life after being given the Holy Spirit is the same type of boldness that you and I, we need to have as Christians. He goes on. He's preaching to these guys, and in verse 22 he says this, men of Israel, you listen to these words. Well, I love it because Peter is like, you know, he's the one that denied knowing Christ, and now all of a sudden he's pointing his finger and saying, men of Israel, you listen. You listen to these words. This Jesus, the Nazarene, he was a man pointed out to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you through him. And here he says, Peter says, just as you all know. He's pointing his fingers at these religious leaders, these devout men from all nations. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, Peter says, you, however, use lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. But in verse 24, God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for him, Jesus, to be held by it. He goes on, Peter just continues on with his preaching. In verse 32, he said, God has resurrected this Jesus. We are all witnesses of this, Peter says. Therefore, since he has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both see and hear. Peter just continues to let these guys have it. Therefore, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Guys, I'm telling you, as I've read this time and time again, you know, there's a beautiful picture of unity in the body there, a message on unity, but there's also a message on boldness, a newfound boldness, a boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit. They weren't bold until that Holy Spirit came and rested upon each and every one of them. And it says here in verse 37, when they, the devout men from every nation, those who had crucified Christ, all these people that had come together after the Holy Spirit had came and rested upon the men, it says in verse 37, when they had heard this, they came under a deep conviction. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what must we do? When was the last time somebody asked you, well, what must I do to be saved? Because of the boldness you had to share the good news of Christ with you. These guys, Peter and the other disciples, they had a boldness about them. Peter had been preaching the Word of God to them. And it says, because of this boldness they had, when the devout men had heard what had happened, they came under a deep conviction. When the church stands up, when we are bold the way we are supposed to be, people come under conviction. They found themselves under a deep conviction and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what must we do? And here it is. Here's the message that Peter shared with them, and that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, you and I as Christians, you and I as followers of Jesus, here's our message. Peter says, repent. Repent, Peter said to them, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And what does he say? I love it. Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and he says in verse 39, for the promise is for you, it is for your children, and it is for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And it says there in verse 40, and with many other words, Peter testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. They had a newfound boldness. And Peter went to preaching. Started sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. They had a newfound boldness. What's the result? Acts 2, verse 41. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day 3,000 people were added to them. The early church went from about 120 people to 3,120 people after one bold message. I want you to look around in your church today. Every time I go to share in a church somewhere, there's empty seats. I come from Dorsville Baptist Church, and guess what? We have empty seats too. It's a big church, but there's still empty seats. I meet with my pastor from time to time for breakfast, and he occasionally expresses, some concern because we go from 375 people down to 258 in 1 week. Trying to figure it out, So I see empty seats everywhere I go. Whose job is that? To fill these seats? I got news for you. It's not your pastor's. And it's not your youth minister or your music minister. But it's up to every one of you who profess Christ as Lord. We have a job to do, and today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you as Christians to become bold. Why? For the sole purpose of building the kingdom of God. That's why. Why do you have empty seats at church on Sunday morning? I don't know. Who's responsible for it? You. Those who accepted his message, they were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to the church. And I love it. It goes on and it says, and they, all of those who accepted Christ as Lord that day, and they, along with the disciples and the first followers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And then it says, and then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. And it says, now all the believers were together. They held everything in common. They sold their possessions and their property, and they distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had a need. You want a good image of how the church should be today? Right there it is. In fact, in my Bible, it's titled, A Generous and Growing Church. You want to know what version it is? It's the Holman Christian Standard. I use it because my pastor preaches out of it more than any. I like to follow him. But that is a beautiful picture of how we should be in the church today. It's how they were in the beginning, and it's the way we should still be today. They distributed, they helped people, they met together, they devoted themselves, they held everything in common. They broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with people, with all the people, everywhere they went, because of the way the church was. They had found favor from the people everywhere they went. And here's the deal, guys. And it says here towards the end, and every day, the Lord added to them those who were being saved. Take a look at your empty seats. The early church, okay, from a boldness that started, from a boldness that came from the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't think we fully understand the power that we have in silence. In fact, I know we don't. We don't talk about it enough. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a powerful thing. Because of that Holy Spirit in the lives of Peter and the disciples, thousands of people were added to the church. And quickly here in Acts chapter 3, I love this story. You know it. But we see again a boldness. It says, Now Peter and John were going up together to the temple complex at the hour of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And a man who was lame from birth was carried there and placed every day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so he could beg from those entering the temple complex. And it says that when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple complex, he asked for help. So the image is the lame man, lame from birth. I believe it says he was 40 years old. They brought him there every day to beg. That's how he could survive. And he asked for help. The lame man looks up at Peter and John and he asks for help. And it says this, Peter, along with John, looked at him with an intensity. Looked at him intently. And said, Look at us. So the man looked and turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But it says here in verse 6, But Peter said, Brother, I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. I love this, and I think it's a beautiful image of the boldness that Peter has. He says, I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, what I'm confident in, what I know, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, he says, get up and walk. Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and it says at once his feet and ankles became strong. So in verse 8 it says, So he jumped up. He jumped up. He stood. And he started to walk. And he entered the temple complex with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And it says that all people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple complex. So it says there that they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. I'm telling you, that is a beautiful picture of a once was afraid man that was running and fearing for his own life, turned bold after the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's a beautiful image of a boldness that he has to stretch out his hand and look at the lame man and say, I'm telling you, brother, I don't have silver or gold, but what I've got. What I've got, I'm going to give to you. He had a boldness. He knew in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, in which he had. And he also knew in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. He says, what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Get up and walk. In my Bible, after walk, there's an exclamation for it. He says, you get up and walk. He had a boldness. You need to hear it today, church. We need to have a boldness. Why? 13 million people in your state. IBSA says there's 13 million. Right around there. And they believe that 8 million of those 13 million are lost. That means they're going to hell when they die. And as the church, the followers of Christ, we should care about that number. God, we have got to get this. We have got to understand that we have got to become bold as the church. We've got to become bold where we can go outside these church doors and share with our neighbors. Based on that number of lost people in this state alone, there's got to be hundreds, if not thousands or so, here in El Dorado that are lost. In our county, there are thousands of people who are lost, and when they die, they're going to hell. We need to have boldness about us. We need not be afraid to share the good news of Jesus Christ with our neighbors, with the people at work tomorrow. You know, someone will say, hey, well, that's easier said than done, to be able to just go to work and start preaching the good news of Christ. Well, you've got that help called the Holy Spirit. Call on. Holy Spirit, I need your help today. I need to talk to so-and-so at work. She's been on my heart for a while now. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit, to be able to speak with a boldness to her. Help me to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with her. Whatever it may be, whatever your situation may be. Guys, we have got to become bold enough to share the good news of Christ. I want to tell you, I'm trying to be clear. It says now in chapter 4 of Acts, it says now as they were speaking to the people, the priest, the commander of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them because they were provoked that they were teaching the people and proclaiming the resurrection from the dead, using Jesus as an example. So it says here that they seized them, Peter and John. They seized them and put them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. You hear that? But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Buddy, the church is growing at a rapid pace because of this newfound boldness that these disciples had. It says the next day the rulers, the elders, the scribes, they assembled in Jerusalem. And all the members of the high priestly family. And after they had Peter and John stand before them, they asked this question. By what power or in what name have you done this? They want to know how this lame man, of after 40 years of not being able to walk, now all of a sudden can walk. And so they're questioning Peter and John, by what power? Or in what name have you done this? They question. Then it says, then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to this disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel. Here it is. That by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing here before you healthy. And goes on in verse 12, and Peter said, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it. I'm telling you, I love it. I love seeing this boldness that Peter has. He cannot shut up. He can't be still when it comes to talking about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, church. We don't need to be still. We need to open our mouths and we need to tell people about our Savior. We need to be bold in doing so. We need not be afraid. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit, our helper, our guide in life. Verse 13, it says, when they observed the boldness, there it is, that word. If you don't remember anything else today, you're going to remember the word boldness from today's message. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John, and they realized that they were uneducated, untrained, you don't have to be a minister to boldly share the good news. Okay? When they realized that they were uneducated, untrained men, they were amazed. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And it says here, and since they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in response. After they had ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin, the religious council, had conferred among themselves, saying, what should we do with these men? For an obvious sign, evident to all who lived in Jerusalem, has been done through them, and we cannot deny it. However, so this does not spread any further among the people, let's threaten them. Let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in this name again. You know what? The world in 2019, there's many people that want you to be quiet. There's many people that don't want you to say a word about Jesus Christ. And we should be just the opposite. We should be to a point where we can't be quiet, we can't be still, we can't shut up talking about Jesus Christ. Here they were trying to get Peter and John to be still. So it says here in verse 18, they called for them and ordered them not to preach or teach at all in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, there's places in our world today that people have to preach and teach in hiding. They're not free like we are here in the United States, to boldly proclaim. In many countries, they've been told, don't you speak the name of Jesus. Listen, verse 19. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. I want to encourage you today Do not stop speaking about what you know about Jesus Christ. Peter and John said, we cannot shut up. We can't not tell others about what we know. Verse 21, it says, after threatening them further, they released them. They found no way to punish Peter and John, because the people were all giving glory to God over what had been done. For this sign of healing had been performed on a man over 40 years old. Just a little bit further, guys, and I promise I'm done, but you have to hear this part. Verse 23, my Bible says they prayed. They prayed for boldness. When's the last time you prayed for boldness? After they were released, Peter and John, they went back to their own people and they reported everything to the chief priests and the elders. They reported everything that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they all raised their voices to God and said, here they go, they start to pray. Master, you are the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers assembled together against the Lord and against his Messiah. Verse 27, for in fact in this city both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Verse 29. And they pray, And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your slaves may speak your message with a complete boldness. And it says in verse 30, while you stretched out your hand for healing, signs, and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And it says in verse 31, when they had finished praying, the place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak God's message with a boldness. Peter and John were threatened. They said, we can't be still. And then here they go back, and what do? They pray. They pray for a boldness. Their prayer was answered. And then it says that they began to speak God's message with a boldness. Guys, when was the last time you prayed for a boldness? When was the last time you boldly shared the love of Jesus with someone? When was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit to give you a boldness to speak the truth? We need to be praying for boldness as Christians. In today's world more than ever, Christians need to be bold, but in a gentle way, not a judgmental way. We need to be leading people to Christ, not driving them further away. One final thing, and I promise I'm done. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, Paul says this. Talking to Christians, be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like a man or a woman. And what's he say? He says, be strong. And here's what he tells us. Stand firm in the faith, act like a man or a woman, and be strong. But your every action must be done with love. Guys, we need to love people to Jesus. Paul reminds us to be alert. stand firm in this crazy old world that we're living in. And we're going to have to be strong as Christians. We're going to have to come together, church. We're going to have to come together. We're going to have to call on the Holy Spirit for a boldness. Guys, I cannot stress enough that it must be done. We must be done in a gentle way. It must be done out of love for others. A quote I found, "Let us not shy away from being bold for Christ." Let us not shy away from being bold for Christ. And may our boldness be covered with love. May we be bold enough to share the love of God, that is Jesus Christ, with the lost and dying world. I know it's been kind of a long message, but guys, it's something I'm passionate about. I didn't used to be. Back in 2012, things changed for me in my life. And God has been giving me opportunity. And I'm trying to be obedient. And I know that this message on boldness is probably more so for me than it is anyone, maybe. But guys, we cannot be still. We cannot be quiet. We have got to tell. We've got to care enough to tell others about Jesus and just how much He loves us. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for the opportunity to share a truth about boldness. A truth about boldness as the